turn to John chapter 12. And I just want to share a thought or two with you, and we'll dismiss the service here in a moment. And so I just want to share a couple verses with you to try to be an encouragement as they make their way down there. The theme of that presentation was, "Then Jesus came." I got to thinking about that this afternoon. If Jesus had not come, then there wouldn't be Christmas. Wouldn't have tinsel, and wouldn't have ornaments, and wouldn't have lights, and wouldn't have trees, wouldn't have treats, wouldn't have cookies, wouldn't have peanut butter fudge. What in the world? We wouldn't have the presents, we wouldn't have the gifts, we wouldn't have the family get-togethers, wouldn't have the TV programs that are special, we wouldn't have 22 Hallmark films that are all the same. I mean, if Christ hadn't come, then we wouldn't have special services like this and things that we call cantatas. Wouldn't be any of that. I got to thinking about that. Is that why Jesus came? Is that why he left heaven's glory just so that we could have a Christmas day and we could have a day or two off work and we could fellowship and have a good time? And of course, I guess you understand and you know the answer that that's not why he came at all. The miracles of heaven and the miracles of Bethlehem are far greater. Sometimes I wonder if all the commercialization of Christmas has sometimes clouded the reality of what the Christmas season is all about. John chapter 12 is a little bit different message. It's a little bit different passage. But I began to realize that four separate times in the New Testament, Jesus said, "I came not," an answer to why he came. And I just want to share those with you real quick. I know the hour. I won't keep you, I promise. But I want to share this thought with you. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 46, look at what the Bible says. "I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." Father, we're so grateful for how our hearts have been stirred already. And Lord, for just a couple minutes, I pray that you would use the scriptures to now challenge us as well. Thank you for friends and guests that are here. Give us a patience as we look into the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you be seated for just a moment? The reality of the day in which we're living is that a lot of people today do not really celebrate the real reason why Jesus came. There's lots of people that celebrate Christmas, and in fact, a lot of people know that it has a religious root to it, and what I found is that the world doesn't even have a problem with the cute things that go along with Christmas. They're okay with the donkeys and the cattle and the sheep, and they're okay with the manger scenes and those kind of things. In fact, they're even okay with some of the Christmas songs as long as they're upbeat and everybody feels good. Why is it that we don't really celebrate the fact that what Christmas is all about? I suppose there's a lot of answers to that. The truth is, Emmanuel, God with us, doesn't sell video games very well. Doesn't sell digital TVs very well. And I think we've become comfortable with the way things are. That theme of that presentation of that message and song is, here's the reason why Jesus came. Read a story about a reporter who was walking the streets in Tokyo at Christmas time, and he was interviewing some people about Christmas. He stopped a young lady on the street and he asked her, "What is the meaning of Christmas?" She thought for a moment and she said, "Well, I don't know. Is that the day that Jesus died?" I guess there's probably some truth in that because Jesus was born to die. But the Bible gives to us an interesting answer as Jesus himself points out, "I came not for this, but I came for this." Now I want to read you those four individual passages. If you want to turn to them, you can. We'll come right back to John chapter 12 here in a moment. But the first one is found in Luke chapter 5. And in Luke chapter 5, Jesus makes a statement here as he's speaking to and about Matthew, a tax collector. It's an interesting story because Luke introduces us to a tax collector who trusted Christ. Now every time I read that, I get excited because there's hope for the fact that people that collect our taxes can believe in Jesus. Aren't you glad about that? And the scripture teaches us here that, first of all, Jesus came to summons. Luke chapter 5, notice what he said in verse number 29. Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Here it is. Here's the first one. "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now here's Levi, a man that has been saved. And not only is he saved, but he's now a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us that he's invited some of his friends over, those who are sinners, to come and meet Jesus as well. And I got to tell you, that's a great picture for people that are saved. What a great example to take those that were your old friends and introduce them to your new friend, Jesus Christ. And he did just that. And the Bible tells us that the scribes and the Pharisees, they got frustrated and they began to criticize and to question. And the Lord answers their questions by giving us an illustration. He looks at those that are lost sinners as if they are sick patients who are in need of healing rather than enemies that need to be condemned. Jesus said, "I didn't come to this earth to call those that are righteous. I came for those that are lost." And there's a call here that applies to every person that is born into this world. There's a summons to the lost, if you will. There is a call for sinners. And the Bible helps us by that, by Jesus reminding us he didn't come for the righteous. Now, I thought about that, and I thought, well, why wouldn't that be the case? And, you know, the Bible answers that question for us, because if Jesus came to call the righteous, there wouldn't be anyone to answer that call. The Bible says that there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that we are altogether filthy. The Bible speaks about the fact that as it is written, there's none righteous, and they are all gone out of the way. We have all gone astray. The Bible said that we have together become unprofitable. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Aren't you glad Jesus came for sinners? He came for people like me and for you, and it's a call that still exists today, because receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior is the only way to have eternal forgiveness. The Bible's very clear that if we have faith in Christ and we trust Him as our Savior, that is the way to escape the eternal damnation in a place called hell. Now, I realize that a lot of people today don't believe in hell and they don't want to even hear it spoken about. In fact, they make all kinds of mockery of it. But ladies and gentlemen, whether or not the world believes in it or not doesn't change the truth of the Bible. In fact, Jesus said, and the scripture repeats itself, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when the Lord spoke to Levi and to these scribes and these Pharisees, he was reminding them, I didn't come for a world that was wholesome. I didn't come to people that were pure and perfect. I didn't come to this world to die for those that didn't need a Savior. I didn't come just so you could have Christmas trees and special singing and parties and all of that. I didn't come for those who were decent and upright. No, Jesus came for people just like me and just like you. People who are sinners that need a Savior. Number one, he came to summons. Number two is found in Matthew chapter 10. He came to separate. Now, this is an incredibly interesting passage of Scripture, because in Matthew chapter 10, the Lord makes a distinction here about family division. Aren't you glad that in your family at Christmas time, everybody gets along? Isn't that great? And the Lord in Matthew chapter 10 speaks about some of that division. Now, the division is not who's wearing what sweater, and it's not about who got what gift, but it's about their faith in Christ. Matthew chapter 10, notice what he said in verse number 24. And he said unto them, I'm in chapter 9. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Well, that's interesting. The Lord here prophesied that there would be division in some families because some would trust Christ and some would not. There are people in this room tonight, and in your family, you may be the only one that's a believer. You may be here tonight as a wife and your husband's not a believer. You may be here tonight as a friend or a guest, and there are those in your family that are not believers. Take heart, because Jesus spoke about that, and he said that there will be the case where there will be some who will believe and others that will not. Now, I personally believe that the world will see the fulfillment of this when we get to the tribulation, where persecution is greatest. But the truth of the matter is, there are some places in the world today where when you trust Christ, your family looks at it as if you have rejected them and you've become dead to the family. Perhaps you've read of some of the most recent persecution that's taking place in China. In February of this year, 2018, the Chinese government put out an edict that any unofficial church that was found to be operating, all members and parties of that church would immediately be cast into prison. There's a well-known Protestant pastor in China who today is in jail. In May of 2018, he was put in jail. In September, he wrote a letter to the government. In October, he wrote another letter to the government. Finally, the third, he wrote a letter to his church family explaining to them that though he be in prison and those who were still holding fast, he said, I want you to hold fast to what you believe in. Don't give up. Don't give in just because the government is doing this. And I like what he said in his letter as he wrote to the government. He said, though you lock me up and though you decide to chain me, you will never change the love that I have for Jesus Christ in my heart. Boy, thank God for that kind of courage. The truth of the matter is that it will always be the case in the world around us that there will be some that believe and some that do not. And the Bible speaks about the fact that the Lord came to separate, not to cause division, but just to encourage that those who would follow Him would know what it is to have peace in their heart and, yea, peace on earth. The third one is found in Matthew chapter 20, and the Bible speaks about the fact that Jesus came to save. Number one, he came to summons. Number two, he came to separate. Number three, he came to save. Matthew chapter 20. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 28. Well, that was pretty good. We're on number three in 4 minutes. Oh, yeah. I bet your preacher doesn't preach that fast. Notice what he says in verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And to give his life a ransom for many. You see, our Lord, unlike many earthly men who seek only what would help themselves, Jesus came to serve. Man, the first part of this verse is a lesson in and of itself. I met a man this week who told me all about his desires for a church to help him and to do for him. Now, I believe the church ought to be there to help people, and the church ought to serve in the community. But ladies and gentlemen, it ought to be the case, what can I do for Christ through the church? Not what can I get out of it? Not who can I become? Not what name can I make for myself? And that's not why Jesus came. He didn't come to make a name for himself, and he didn't come to have his name in headlines or to become popular in any fashion. No, no, no. Jesus said, I came to serve others. And by the way, no greater picture of the service of the Lord Jesus Christ than when he would lay down his life and die to pay for our sins, a ransom to cancel sin. Can I tell you, you've never had another friend do that. You've never had anyone else serve you that way. God sent His Son to this earth to die so that you and I wouldn't have to die. 1 John chapter 2 said, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That's the reason Jesus came to this earth, to die for me and to die for you. So that you could have complete assurance that the debt of your sin has been paid for. Now, I don't know how Christmas has been in your home growing up. I don't know how you've spent your Christmases and what you've done, but I can tell you this, if you really want to know what real peace is about and you want to be set free from the difficulties and troubles of this world, you'll still have trials and you'll still have problems, but if you want to be set free from all of that, it will begin in you having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we begin to serve others, we find what a difference it makes. I read a story about an old elderly lady who, after a church service, she was approached by a younger girl. And she asked the elderly lady, she said, "Does the devil ever trouble you about your past sins?" She kind of smiled and she said, "Oh, yes, he does." And the young girl said, "Well, what do you do about it?" And she said, "I tell the devil to go east." She thought for a minute. She said, "Does the devil ever come back?" And she said, "Oh, yes, he does." And she said, "What do you do about it?" And she said, "I tell the devil to go west." And she said, "Does the devil ever come back?" And she said, "Oh, yes, he does." And she said, "What do you do about it?" And she said, "I just keep telling him to go east and keep telling him to go west. And he'll go as far east and as far west. And he'll never find my sins, because the Bible said, as far as the east is from the west, so far have my transgressions been removed." By the way, only Jesus can do that. Jesus came to summons, he came to separate, he came to serve. Number four, back in John chapter 12 where we started, he came to save. In John chapter 12, Jesus makes a parallel of being the light of the world. A light that comes to dispel darkness. And it's interesting that he says, "I'm not come to judge, but to save." Now, make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, there's coming a day when Jesus Christ will come and he will reign as judge. In the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's coming a day when all men will stand before him. But for this first advent, for this first Christmas, Jesus didn't come as the sword. Jesus didn't come to judge, but he came to save mankind. The reason God sent his Son was so that you and I could be set free from our sins and have an eternity in heaven. There's some folks in here that I do not know. There are guests and friends. And I want to tell you that you're amongst friends tonight that would like for you to know that you're going to heaven. That's why Jesus came. That's the purpose of salvation. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life." Several years ago, there's a 14-year-old girl by the name of Laura Montero who was aboard a cruise ship with her family when her appendix burst. They were just off the coast of a Baja island and they were 500 miles from any sort of rescue facility. So the men of the ship sent out a distress call. And they found that the closest ship was the USS Reagan that was 300 to 400 miles away. They responded to that call and they turned the ship around and they set sail to try to endeavor to help this cruise ship. 6,000 men were aboard the USS Ronald Reagan. They were on a mission of practice exercises and training drills. And all of that came to a halt so that they could sail through the night, get that ship close enough where they would be within helicopter range to fly over and board this ship with their medic crew in order to help this young girl. By the early morning hours, a helicopter set sail. It landed close by there on the deck of that cruise ship. And those medics were able to administer the necessary care, and that 14-year-old girl lived. When they got back to the States, they received a bill in the mail that was registered from the United States government. Those 14 hours of medical treatment cost the United States of America $2.5 million. When the United States Security Department found out about it, they received another letter. And in that letter, it stated that it was the duty of American security to protect the lives of her citizens. And the letter said, "Your daughter has been given a gift of life, free of charge, courtesy of the United States of America." Now I want to tell you, Jesus Christ did that. And so much more for you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why Jesus came. Father, we're so thankful for what you do in our hearts. Thank you for these friends and guests and family who have been a part of this special occasion tonight. And Lord, for a few moments, I pray that if there are some tonight that ought to make a decision, that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Now heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking, please, but me.